Luke chapter 2. I've enjoyed the refreshment of Christmas in the Bible. How many of you really feel like it's Christmas time? Anybody? Not really. It's just a different situation this year, isn't it? Everything's just so different. But it's when we get in the Bible and we read that, at least for me, it just brings it back fresh, and I'm refreshed over all of these events. We've talked about the land of Bethlehem, the significance of Bethlehem and the tower of the shepherd. And we've also talked about the star, right? We kind of talked about the star and the wise men, the shepherds. So we visited all these different facets of the Christmas story. So tonight, I want to look at two other people that we don't see around that manger scene at Christmas because they weren't there. And I know the wise men weren't either, but that's part of the story. So, but these two in Luke chapter 2 are Simeon and Anna. We start in chapter 2 by seeing that Jesus and his family observed all the laws, all the traditions that they were ceremonially required to observe. And, you know, there's some things about this that when you have to take the Gospels and read each part and you understand that you have to get all the Gospels together and fit the puzzles together. You don't get the whole story just by reading Matthew. You won't get the whole story just by reading Luke. You've got to fit it all together. And that's not to cause us any confusion, but just understand it. Just because you read something in the Bible, don't think that settles it until you understand the whole picture, okay? Because there could be more to the story. Even the writing above Jesus on the cross, if you remember, there was more to it if you took all the Gospels into account. Same thing with the birth of Christ. Chapter 2, verse 21. When the 8 days were accomplished, where was Jesus born? Bethlehem, okay? And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. So he received his name, which was what the angel told them to name him when he was conceived in the womb. Verse 22, when the days of her purification, Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem. So this is, you know, just a 10-mile distance between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And they were in Bethlehem when he was born. So now the 8 days, the purification, they go to Jerusalem. And I thought about that and how incredible it was that they brought Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, because the Bible said that every male that openeth the womb should be holy, and it's actually written in here. So they bring him to the temple in Jerusalem. I know that Jesus is forever eternal in the past and in the future. I understand that. But here is this child, a boy, young, 8 days old. That's tiny, right? That's a little baby. And he's being brought to the city, to the temple, to Mount Moriah, where Abraham took Isaac. Remember? God said, take Isaac, your only son Isaac, and take him to a place that I will show you, and offer him there for sacrifice. And they got there, and Isaac said, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Remember that? And he takes him up there, and that's where God showed Abraham, hey, you were willing to offer your son, but I gave you grace, and I will offer mine. And that's that hilltop. That's that mountaintop. That's the same place where David went, to the top of Mount Moriah, to what became Jerusalem, what became the Temple Mount, where Solomon built the temple. That's the place where David went to make an offering before God. And now Mary and Joseph, knowing this, because they know their history, they're Jews by their faith, they understood the significance of that location. They bring Jesus to present him before the Father on that same mountain, where he would be crucified, where right around the corner he would be put in a tomb, risen the third day, and would be presented to the Father at the true Holy of Holies for the sacrifice of all our sins. And they had no idea about all that. They, you see, looking back, right? Hindsight's 20/20. We look back and we can see all of the events. We know all the history. But they bring Jesus as a baby to present him to God, his Father, the same place where he'll be presented as the Savior of the world. To me, that means something. And this is that same temple where Jesus would teach later. It's the same temple where he would heal people and even throw out the money changers. I mean, it's that same place. And when he comes in as this little baby, no one's offended. No one's intimidated. No one's threatened. Remember, Herod doesn't even know he's been born. When the wise men finally get there, coming from the east, they come to this place. And he's already been there. But he's gone back to Bethlehem. They would come later and they would find him. Remember, we talked about Sunday morning. They would find him in Bethlehem in a house, not in a manger, in a house with his mother and father. And that's when he left and went to Egypt to escape Herod. And then, of course, later returned to Nazareth, as we read in the book of Luke. Verse 22, in the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so they brought their sacrifice. As they brought Jesus, as they went to the temple, they brought their sacrifice so that he would meet the criteria, all the criteria that he would fall under, all of the ceremony and all of the traditions and, yes, all of the law. He was circumcised. He met every box. They checked every box and said, we did this, everything was met. Her purification, they waited for the right amount of time. You see, everything was according to the law. Jesus lived by the law because he was a Jew. And there was no doubt that his family, this family that God chose, was a faithful, holy, sanctified family. And he would not have given the Savior, his own son, and entrust him to somebody who didn't observe the law. He wouldn't have done it. He needed somebody, and he found that in Mary and Joseph that would obey every step of the way. Verse 25, and there was a man. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout. So just as God had chosen Mary and Joseph because of their characteristics, because of their qualities, because of their discipline and their living, in that same manner, he's looking today, and he was looking that day for those who obeyed, those who followed him, those who seek him. And this Simeon is just and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So he was just, he was devout, and he was waiting. And that's what we should be. He was waiting for the coming Christ, and we are waiting for the coming Christ. And we're anticipating and we're expecting it. And what else does it say? Not only that, but he was also had the Holy Ghost upon him. He was anointed. He had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, just as the prophets of the Old Testament. Do you ever remember reading a sermon from Simeon? Anything he preached? We're going to here in just a second, a few things that he shared. That's it. And yet he had the same Holy Ghost upon him that Elijah did, that Elisha did, that Ezekiel did, that Daniel did, that Jeremiah, Isaiah, every one of them, the same anointing, different calling. But there was, we see in Simeon someone who just has a relationship with God. It's not that he's doing, it is that he believes. It is that he loves. It is that he worships. It is that he prays. It is that he's waiting. He wants to see God's work done. How many of us want to see God's work done? We want to see God's work accomplished. We want to see God do great things. That's Simeon. He looked at his country and it was occupied by the Romans. And oh, Herod was a fox. I mean, these leaders that they had, even the Jewish leaders they had, they couldn't trust them. Even the ones they thought were on their side were in it for themselves. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And so they were just in a fix, and they said, well, we just got to do the best we can. But Simeon was praying. He said, Lord, I want to see things change. I want to see some hope come back to our land. I want to see some inspiration and some revival come back to our land. And you know what the Holy Ghost told him? Verse 26, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he knew by the Holy Spirit had given him that confirmation that he was going to live to see the coming Christ. Wow. Now, I know a lot of people who have had that confidence in themselves that they weren't going by way of the grave. They were going by way of the rapture. I don't know how I'm going to go. I don't know how you're going to go. Maybe we'll all go tonight. But we don't know that, do we? Has the Holy Ghost told anybody in this room when it's that we're going to outwait, that we're going to be here when it happens? No. But Simeon had that assurance. He got up every morning with that anticipation. Today could be the day. Today could be the day. Guys, do we have that anticipation? Do we really know that Jesus is going to come and we're going to hear the trumpet and we'll be called out of here? If we really believe that and we really believe the signs that we've been watching, we talked about that Sunday morning, paying attention to the signs and not just knowing it in the book, but knowing it in our heart. Do we really know he's coming back? And do we really look for it? Do we really wait for it? Look, I said, he was waiting. He was waiting. He's looking forward to it. The Holy Spirit gave him the assurance. It's going to happen before you die. It's going to happen in your day. Incredible. Verse 27. Actually, after I'd already prepared the message, I thought, well, let me look some things up and see if there's anything else I need to add. And I was reading something today, and I don't remember where it was, but it said Simeon and Anna just happened to be at the temple when Jesus came. Now, I don't know about you, but what I read in verse number 27 says, he came led by the Spirit. He was there because the Holy Ghost told him, hey, you better get up there right now. You better get up there right now. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit to the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then Simeon took him up in his arms. Can you imagine? Can you imagine knowing that this baby, just over a week old, this precious child, innocent in all regard. We look at a baby and we think they're just so innocent, don't we? And how precious and how could anything this precious ever go wrong? But everybody used to be a baby at some point. Look at this baby. Simeon holds that baby, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord's Christ. And he holds him in his arms. He holds him in his arms and he gets excited about it. He blessed God and said, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. You know what he said? He said, now I can die. Now, he said, this fulfills everything I've ever... Look, he didn't live for riches. He didn't have a mission. He just had a desire in his heart to know that the hope of God was alive. To know that the hope of God was being revealed. Now look, it was going to be a long time. You think Simeon wanted to wait another 33 and a half years? It was going to be a long time till it actually happened. But at least he could see that the seed was planted. At least he could see that the plan was moving forward. He held the Lord's Christ in his hands. In verse number 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Look, it's not a secret. But Herod didn't know it. When the wise men came to Jerusalem, they didn't get a bunch of people that said, yeah, he was here. Simeon saw him. Anna saw him. He was circumcised. They gave an offering. He's been here. The one you're looking for didn't say all that, did they? No. Nobody knew it. Except the ones who are faithful. except the ones that were hopeful, except the ones that were waiting. You know what's going to happen when we leave? Even though it's done before the face of all people, there's going to be some explanation that says, nah, that's not what happened. But you know who's going to be gone? Those who are hopeful, those who are faithful, those who are waiting. We'll be gone. And everybody left behind will say, I don't know where they went. A light, verse 32, to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You see, these two, Joseph and Mary, we haven't talked about them much. But Mary, being a young girl, a teenager, when the angel of the Lord told her what was going to happen, when the Holy Ghost came upon her and she was pregnant, when Joseph had a dream, a vision of God that said, look, what she's, that pregnancy is of God, it's holy. That's the Son of God in there. She hasn't cheated. She didn't do you wrong. That's the Son of God. Joseph pondered these things and kept them in his heart. Mary pondered those things in her heart. And now they come to Jerusalem. They live in Nazareth. They're staying in Bethlehem. They come to Jerusalem, to the temple. They present the baby. And an old man comes out and says, this is the Lord's Christ. They hear his prayer, God, you can take me now. I've seen your salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of Israel. Oh, I've seen it, Lord. You can take me now. Mary Joseph said, wow. Wow, somebody knows. Somebody knows besides the two of us. Somebody knows besides John, besides Zacharias and Elizabeth. Somebody knows besides us. It's true. It's all coming together. Simeon blessed them, verse 34. And unto Mary his mother, behold, he said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. The fall and rising again. A resurrection. I thought about it today that when we were born, there was so much potential. Right? And when we got born again, it was even greater potential. So are we living up to that? Have we aspired to do all that we can do now, having been born twice? The fall and rising again of many in Israel. And which shall be spoken against. Verse 35, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Oh, that he'll be crucified. They pondered, they marveled at what he said. Simeon looks at her and he says, it's not all good news. You see, there's going to be pain in this life. It's not all good news. There's going to be some struggle involved. And so they ponder that. And then there was one Anna, verse 36, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. This woman lived in the temple. She spent all of her time praying, seeking God, praying for others, I believe, fasting and praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for the peace of Israel, praying for the will of God to be done. She just spent all of her time in communion with God, 84 years old. And it says, verse 38, she coming in that instant, Simeon's over there praising God, and Anna comes in. She starts praising God too. She gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for the redemption in Israel. You see? The message of salvation was there then. And yet, did anybody follow them back to Bethlehem? Not that we know of. Did it break out in revival? Did people start searching? When the wise men came, they came to this place. And the message that Simeon and Anna had shared, nobody picked it up and carried it forward. That's tragic. What's more tragic than that is that today we have this hope. This faith, we know all of, we know about the crucifixion and the resurrection, the ascension, and the coming return. We know about all that. We know about his salvation. But are we going to pick up the message and carry it out? How far beyond the walls, beyond the perimeter of this property, beyond the stretch of our homes, how far does that message go before it just drops off? Does anybody know? If somebody came to our friends and said, hey, I really want to get saved. How can I get saved? If they came to one of our lost friends, I really want to put my faith in Jesus. How can I do that? Would our friends say, come to my friend over here? Because they know how. You see, even people that aren't saved ought to know that we know how to get saved. The message of salvation from Anna and Simeon, the message of fulfillment of the Christ that Israel was seeking. They didn't like being under Roman rule. But the message of a Savior fell flat. And I'm afraid the same thing's happening today. The message of salvation shouldn't fall flat. But if we don't get excited about it, how is the world going to get excited about it? If it doesn't ramp us up and light our fire, how is it going to set the world on fire? We need to have that enthusiasm. The awe, the wonder of Christ, of the Lord's Christ, our Savior. Let's stand. Father, we know the truth of this account. Simeon and Anna waited with great anticipation. And how exciting it was for them to actually be able to witness, to see, to hold our Savior. Yet as we do not hold our Savior with our hands, we hold with our heart. And the message is true. And the salvation is real. And the redemption is complete. So God, I pray that we'll have the enthusiasm, that we'll have the voice, that we'll have the eagerness to go and tell our friends, our family, strangers, neighbors, anyone that will hear about the Lord Christ. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior. Dismiss us now with your grace and forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.